Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eden, and I am here with the Talk of the Town.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Here's the Talk of the Town.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of
Talk
dance
of the
music.
Town. Here's the Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town.
Check this
live to the Middleman Presents Talk of the Town with Nick Eden. I am your host, Nick Eden.
Got my man KG with me.
What's happening, man? What's going on?
Nothing much.
Shout out to people over on the web chat, man, that, you know, waited before the show started. It was like those people at the Nike store waiting on the Jordans. Thank you.
I don't know. Shout out to them. What do you think? I ain't mad at you. I appreciate you. We definitely all appreciate you. What's going on this week with you?
Not much, man. Just trying to get the groove in, man. It's cold out here, you know. Before we got up in the studio, I felt like I was in New York.
Man, who are you telling? Oh, my God.
This is crazy weather, man. Crazy
weather, man.
And then
I wore the thin jacket to the studio. I left the thick one at the house.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I need that rat fur.
Right, what's going on, man? I have a couple things that I gotta say before we get, you know, kicked off into our usual entertainment wrap up. And I'm not gonna say any names. I'm not gonna call any names out. I'm gonna say that for a lot of the artists, hip hop and R&B from the '90s. A lot of you guys need to learn how to handle your business. Playing one label, you know, to get leverage for the other one, and especially when you're in the downturn of your career, you know, it's not really a smart move, because if your album, you know, I think a lot of the artists nowadays are institutionalized into that major label system and not really realizing that times have changed. And for you to try to leverage one of the biggest independent labels as a way to get up some buzz for you to go sign with some major, I just don't think that's the smartest thing on earth. And quite frankly, it may come back to bite you in the you know what. I'm not gonna say any names. I'm just gonna say that a lot of those. You know, one artist that I really admire. That was big in the 90s and has made a great independent career. Joe. He gets it. Joe gets it. And, like, actually, Joe is popping now more than he has, more than for a lot of times he was in the 90s.
Right.
Because he understands what it is to be an independent artist, especially independent artists with a track record like some of these cats have. So, that's all I'm going to say, you know. That's all I'm saying. Like I said, I'm not going to call out any names, you know, but, you know, if you're trying to play one, if you're going to play, at least, you know, try to leverage the major to get more out of the independent. You're going to make more. I just put it up on Facebook. Some of the artists that I, you know, was admiring when I come up, make some of the dumbest moves on earth. Anyway. Now that that's out. Hey, man, shout out to Muhammad Ayers, Mr. Ayers, Michael Ayers, Those of you guys who've been listening to the Middleman Talk Show and Talk the Town, you may be familiar with this guy. He's been on the show a few times. This is a gentleman that I met about 3 years ago when we were vying for the same spot on Andre Harrell's label. Things didn't really work out in that situation, and he hit some bumps in the road, but he actually wrote the majority of Ronald Ivory's new album.
Wow.
And E1 Music just released the first single yesterday called Dinner in a Movie. It was written by Muhammad, and he also sang the background record on it. So shout out to him, man. He's doing his thing right now, and I know it's a really good time for him, especially with Ron Isaac. That's like, he loves Ron Isaac. That's like his biggest inspiration in music. So to write, you know, 8 of the 10 or 12 records on the album is like amazing.
Yeah, Buddy is dope.
Yeah,
need to bring him back to the show, man.
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to do a songwriter show because I wanted to bring him in, and I also wanted to bring another good friend of mine, Alvin Garrett, who's a Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter from Alabama, who just penned Joe's new single that we actually played on the Tuesday Morning Takeover. If you listen in this Tuesday or last Tuesday, we premiered that Joe record last Tuesday. He wrote that. He's written Johnny Gill, Trinity 5-7, Ruben Sutter, and a host of others. So I wanted to do a songwriter show and bring in some everyday guys who have just made their way into the songwriting realm so people can understand that, you know, it's not just, oh, the people that are already in the industry or the people. No, these are people that work their way up from the bottom. I'm not going to go into that song. But so yeah, just a big shout out to those guys, and I think you're right. We're gonna have to bring them in and just give some real life advice about the average guy. Because one guy's from Birmingham, Alabama. The other one is from it's from Franklin, Louisiana. So they didn't come from major cities. They didn't come from, you know, they can give their real perspective of it.
Right.
Looking at the sales this week, man. Justin Timberlake is back on top again. Once again, Justin Timberlake's new album, The 2020 Experience. Came in at number one with 317,000 copies sold. Now that's one. It's actually almost a complete 100,000 over Lil Wayne's new album, who came in at number two with I Am Not a Human Being 2, which comes in at 217,430 copies. So shout out to both of them for being on top of the charts. Bruno Mars comes in at 8 this week with Unorthodox Jukebox with 47,000 copies, and rounding out, actually Bruno Mars does round out the urban releases for the charts this week. Look out in the next couple of weeks. Snoop Lion, formerly known as Snoop Dogg, is dropping a new album. What do you think about this whole Snoop Lion thing, Kes?
I mean, I can appreciate the whole evolution of him as an artist. And you know, I think he's embracing his whole weed side. You know, I ain't going to say artist side, but the weed side of him. But, I mean, I'm cool with it, man, because, I mean, with Snoop, man, you know, you never know what you'll get, man. He's a good artist. I'm not going to say, I mean, he kind of fit with this topic today, too, man. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but overall, man, I'm happy to see him diversify his talents and take it to another lane that he respects, you know. And also, you know, he got his kids in there with him, you know. Snoop Lion.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, yeah. I'm not going to lie, it kind of threw me off at first, but I think I'm getting kind of accustomed to Snoop Lion. He got growth at some point, which is exactly what we're talking about tonight on Talk of the Town. Hip-hop, it's time to grow up. My goodness, it is time to grow up. So let's go ahead and get into our record of the day. Kev, why don't you go ahead and introduce this record for us?
All right, this record right here is by Fiend, not the Fiend from No Limit. You know, a lot of people get this guy confused with it. It's off a compilation that a good friend of ours did. DJ Break 'Em Off, and also John Quest produced this record. Yeah, this is Fiend and Marion Mariba. It's called You and I. You are listening to Middleman Radio. I was about to say something wrong there, dog.
Ooh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but here we go, man. This is You and I, Fade, featuring Marian Mariba, You and I.
That's all we need. All I need in this life is sin. Yeah. All I need in this life is sin. It's you and I, it's now or never, baby, do or die. When you stand for something righteous, you get crucified. I'd rather write this than be lifeless in a suit and tie. What's the world without somebody there to share it with? I want the world so that my seeds, they can inherit it. A future on my shoulders, girl, help me carry it. Life, we gotta cherish it. Yeah, yeah. Still it's you and I by my side, we be on the road. Loyalty is royalty, I never break the code. Ride with you, cry with you, die with you. Your issue is my issue, I vibe with you. Occupy the heart and mind, moment that I saw the blind. Open up and show them signs, welcome to the art of rhyme. Walk into the world and sing, you and I is all we need. L-O-V-E, all we bleed, 99 RBG. To the music, help me open up. While we be beefing with the ones that's truly close to us, our souls connected like a note to a vocalist. I co-direct the story of my life, I'm blowing up. Hopes to a generation showing that they growing up. Freedom fighters loaded up. We don't gotta be in the club drunk, throwing every potus up to get the world to notice us. The first step to success is showing up, so I
can't keep running away. Can't keep running away.
That was on the Art Of. You can download that at That If live mixtape. The mixtape is called Art Of. Art Of. There's a lot of good unsigned artists on there, man. Like we was always saying, Nick, we definitely trying to promote independent artists out there, man. If you need love, come on over here. We got you.
Oh, yeah. And we do have a format coming for our hip-hop artists outside of Talk of the Town. Just like we have a Tuesday morning takeover, we got something coming for our hip-hop artists as well. Make sure that you hit us up at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com with your clean edits. We're trying to get y'all some sound exchange money here. If y'all don't know about sound exchange, y'all really need to go take some seminars or something like that. But,
Hey, man, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Ty Young, out there listening live, man. What's happening, baby? Way out there in Wichita. Where you at right now? Oklahoma. He out there with the Oklahoma City Thunder, man. Them boys balling.
Yeah, man, they're killing it right now. Ain't nobody leg popping out of place or nothing. They ain't killing
it. You crazy, Doc.
I'm only making jokes because the brother is okay, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be just fine. So shout out to Kevin Ware. If don't nobody email me, I'm not going to read the email this day. I'm just saying, I ain't got time for that. I had my fill of that after that one lady said I was gay bashing, so. You know, I'm not going to read your first back email, so don't even bother to me. If you don't like it, there's a big red button at the upper right corner of your computer that says broadcast your own show.
No, matter of fact, just cut it off.
Right. Anyway, you guys are just tuning in. Tonight on Talk the Town, our subject is hip-hop needs to grow up. Now, it's said that hip-hop is a young man's game, but after 40 years in music, it is safe to say that hip-hop needs to grow up in order to reach the next level. Often, classic hip-hop artists are forgotten or dismissed simply because they are staying true to their brand of the art form. Others look to conform to the more contemporary forms of hip-hop adopted by a much younger audience. With a few exceptions like Fonte, rapper Big Pooh, Killer Mike, and most recently T.I.'s latest effort, hip-hop has become defined as being in the moment and not encompassing and embracing those who still wave the flag for it proudly in their middle ages. Now, I want to start this off with where the inspiration for this came from. Actually, it came from a couple of places. One, there are three albums right now, and I got to thank KG for one. But there are three albums right now that I'm absolutely loving, and that's Fonte's album, Charity Starts at Home, Killer Mike, Rap, and T.I. Trouble Man. And the main reason that I'm really loving those albums right now is because with those albums, it seems like hip-hop is finally coming full circle. Like, it's more than just people out there who want to, you know, rock some multicolored Fruity Pebble, Stupid Fruity Swag clothes and all that stuff. It's some grown people that like hip-hop. And for the longest, it seemed like it was not a place for people who liked true hip-hop, those Ice Cube America's Most Wanted fans, those, you know, you get what I'm saying? Those Tupacalypse fans. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Those Biggie Smalls, Ready to Die fans. You know, it just wasn't a lot for them in the marketplace. So it's good to see that albums like that are getting that shine and getting that chance to, you know, to get played, especially with T.I. And the reason that I say that is because T.I. is one of the last few artists that's on a major platform that can still show people, hey, there's more to this than just, you know, whatever is being played on Hot 107.9 right now. Shout out to Hot 107.9, nothing against Radio 1, but I'm just saying, you know. I don't know. Kev, let me ask you a question. How, from when we were coming up, how do you feel like the culture of hip-hop has changed?
Primarily, the main thing that you would look at is the content of the music. And also, I mean, right now, man, there's no structure to it. I mean, everybody is doing the same thing. You know, I mean, the structure, when I say structure, I mean, we had the, you know, the party rap, you had the gangster rap, you had the, I mean, you had everything in between, right? But now it's just one lane. It's just one thing that everybody's doing, and it's all about dope or either all about sex or drugs. You know, we had, you know, you had political hip-hop, you had, I mean, you had a lot of different stuff, man, a variety. But, you know, the artists, even the older artists back in the day, man, they played their lane. You know, younger artists play their lanes, and the new artists, you know, I mean, they respect the older artists, but now, man, it's a free-for-all with these guys right now. Definitely a free-for-all. That's how it looks.
Well, I agree with you up until one point. I don't think that there's a respect for the older artists. As a matter of fact, I think there's quite a really, really lack of respect for those old artists. And I mean that from the standpoint of, you just see it by their actions. Let's go into the R&B lane for a second. Now, you see artists like Usher, Justin Timberlake, Chris Brown, and even to an extent, Justin Bieber, and you automatically see the influence of Michael Jackson. I mean, it's apparent.
Right.
It's apparent. You look at artists like R. Kelly, you look at artists like Raheem Devon, you look at artists like D'Angelo and Maxwell, and you automatically see that Marvin Gaye. You get what I'm saying?
Right,
you
look at artists like
Dave
Collison,
and you see the Donny Hathaway.
Right.
Music Soul Child the same way. Jaheim and Tyrese, and you see that Teddy P. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you can see the influence, and some of them may mimic a little bit more to the point of the older artists, but a lot of them, for the most part, they've taken that influence and made their own style out of it. I don't really see that with a lot of hip-hop right now. I think there's a detachment. And when I say there's a detachment, you look at the way somebody like you look at the performance styles of Run DMC. You look at the performance style, even Busta Rhymes.
He's one of the most dynamic
hip hop performers out there. But there's a disconnect because now everybody's just on stage, they holding their crotch, and they got 5,000 people on stage with them. There's no aspect to the performance of it, which people still want to be entertained. Whether it, no matter what the genre is, people still want to be entertained. And I'm sorry, the lyrics of today are not good enough for you to just stand there in that one spot.
Oh, man. The showmanship of the game, the showmanship of the performance, that's gone. You know, that's one of the main things. Because, I mean, when you go to a... Now, I'm not trying to tell my age, but, you know, when you used to go to a concert back in the day, you get a workout. You know, nowadays, most likely, you're going to, like you said, the artist is going to be standing in that same spot. You standing there, and a lot of times, you know what they'll do? They'll hand the mic down to the crowd and let you rap their records. That's not a good performance. You know. But
so true.
It goes back to the point of taking... You know, taking and paying homage to those before you, man. Like, I recall when Busta said, you know, if you get on the stage after me, I'm going to bust you down. You're going to have to bring it. And that was the same thing for MC Hammer and artists before them. You know, it was a competition thing.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Is there a lack of competition now?
I don't think it's so much a lack of competition as much as I think it's just laziness.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a lack of competition. I really and truly believe that it's just lazy. You see, like, okay, let's look at it like this. I think one artist that hip-hop as a whole can definitely say that they all respect. You may not like him, but you definitely respect him. It's Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z is one of the type of artists that he can stand in one spot and just flat-out rap. Here's the difference between Jay-Z and most of the other artists out there. One, his lyrical content is tons and tons deeper than so many other artists out there. Two, his catalog of hits from 1996 to 2012 is ridiculous. Jay-Z can't do all of his songs. He's one of those artists that he has so many hits and they're so classic that he can literally stand in that one space. But
well,
don't get it twisted. Anybody who's ever been to a Jay-Z concert knows he may do that for one or two songs, but he's out there. He's engaging with the crowd. He's moving around. Like, people take a – you don't give him a lot of credit for this, but Kanye West is one of the more dynamic performers of the day.
Yeah, but my man Ty Young out there in Oklahoma said rap is becoming more of a fashion than a movement. And, you know, you just brought up the perfect example. You know, you look at Kanye, in my opinion, you know – I mean, when you talk about clothing and there's nothing wrong with having diversity in your rap style, and this is what they are doing today. I'm not knocking it. But, you know, when you think about it, when you got something to say, and then especially the age of some of these guys, man, when you're talking like kids and you're still, like, you're 40-something years old, man, there's something wrong with that, in my opinion. And Kanye is a perfect example of that.
Well, here's the thing about it. Kanye, I put Kanye in the category of one of those in-betweeners. He has the substance, especially his earlier music, he has the substance of some of the more classic artists like a Jay-Z, like a Common, like a Talib. You know, he can give you that throwback, but he's still a relatively young guy. So let's not get it twisted. He's still a relatively young guy. The thing about it is, hip-hop, fashion has always been a part of hip-hop.
It is.
It's a part of the culture. It's not just the music. The thing about it is, when I think about hip-hop and what I saw coming up, and I absolutely agree with that. When I think about it, I think about more than just the fashion.
Yeah.
I think about more than just, I think about the culture as a whole and what it brought to the table. It was a lifestyle. It wasn't just a thing of the moment. It wasn't just a movement. Now, it's just like you said, they're so concentrated on the fashion aspect. Well, it's more than just the fashion, because hip-hop, and really not just hip-hop, but black music has always been at the forefront of fashion. If you take it back to, you know, and I don't want to get too far off topic, but if you take it back to, you know, the Motown era, these were the most well-dressed black people on TV.
Right.
If you want to know what the best way to look like as a young black man, watch The Temptations, watch The Four Tops, watch Marvin Gaye. If you want to know the best way to dress and the most fashionable things for you to wear as a young woman, you watch Diana Ross and Supremes. You watch Mary Wells. You get what I'm saying? You watch all of these artists.
I agree with you, but it's like that's what's happening nowadays. The kids are watching what you know, Lil Wayne wear, the jeggings and the different things like that. I mean, they're following suit to what these artists are putting on and putting out there for their visuals. But I mean, I'm really trying to, you know, just to get into the meat, you know, get into it. But what part of hip hop needs to grow up? What do you think needs to grow up? Because I mean, I like what you said about Tip. Tip is a family dude, and you can see that reflected in his music, where he has evolved as an artist. He is beginning to make songs. Like, he got a song on that Guns N' Roses. I mean, that's a relationship
song that
you wouldn't have seen from him a couple of years ago. You know what I'm saying? It was all about the trap. Now he a married man, and, you know, the relationship aspect of it, he can talk about his wife from the standpoint of, sometimes I don't know if I should kiss her or kill her. But what part of hip hop needs to grow up, and you know that? What do you think needs to grow up in hip hop, Nick?
The first thing that needs to grow up about hip hop is hip hop's business sense. That's the first aspect of hip hop that needs to grow up.
Right.
And let me tell you what I mean from this standpoint. From a business standpoint, hip hop needs to realize how much power it has still in touring. Because if you look at the pure numbers of it, those classic hip-hop tours, they sell out. It's not enough artists doing it. The R&B cats from the 90s have picked up on it. I don't know if you've noticed, but you see these shows like, and they all band together, SWV, 112, Blackstreet, Drew Hill. You know, they all, and they go out and they tour, and there's so many hits between them that everybody who that stuff is not necessarily fresh on their mind, but it's fresh enough on their mind, it's like, oh, man, I want to hear that live. I want to see that live. I wasn't old enough to go to an SWV concert when they were popping, and now I can go hear them, and they sound just as good as they did back in 1991. I'm going. And I got the money to do it now. I'm going. It's the same thing with hip-hop.
True that.
It's the same thing with hip-hop. That's why the old school drive at five is such a popular format with radio stations.
Right.
They still love that classic hip hop, and these artists are not so over the hill that they can't still get out there and perform. Look at it all the time. U2 still does world tours every year. Every year. You know, Aerosmith, all these guys, they still do. I think we got a caller. Let's go ahead and bring them in.
All right. Caller, you are live with the middleman. What up? What's up, boy? Long time no hear.
Yeah, I see. The fellas are back on air now.
Yeah, man,
yes,
we're doing the thing. We've been on for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, I mean, you know, I listened last week. I didn't want to like get in, but I listened last week's show.
Okay, but, man, appreciate that.
I had to chime in on this one. I'm like, what? But yeah, like a lot of stuff hip hop doesn't grow up on. Is like what I think first is like appearance and like, you know, the saggy jeans on stage, you performing on stage, you know what I'm saying? Part of like, you got, you know what I'm saying? You're front of like a lot of different fans, like, got to start selling like strong image as a grown man.
Right.
You're 27, 28 years old, you performing with your pants sag off, you know what I'm saying? Off your ass, you know, and you know, you're selling the wrong image to like high schoolers, and you got them going to school imitating what they saw on TV.
True that.
Mm-hmm. And then you got another thing that needs to grow up on content. It's like rappers saying like, okay, say like old school rappers. Say, I'm gonna say an example: Rick Ross. A certain content of lyrics that he said in his music,
uh-huh.
He don't, he's saying he needs to grow up. Like the little issue he got in trouble with recently now about the little Molly thing.
Right.
I'm like, come on, are you 34, 35 years old? Rap.
Okay, 40.
But you sitting there talking about putting the drug in the girl's drink, snatching her home, taking her home, blah, 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 blah. Come on, dog. Grown man don't do that.
Hey, but look, wouldn't you say that would go back from the standpoint of, you know, we all know on the we know that publicists have to make the age of the artist younger, and I think sometimes that the artists feed into the fact of them feeling younger because a lot of people truly don't know the age of these artists because they act like young. You know, you can look at Jay-Z and not look at him in the face, but you can look at Jay-Z and think he's a young guy by how he carry himself.
You carry yourself. You see how Jay-Z carry himself now. He's not carrying
himself
like
in a very mature way.
Yeah, exactly. Because like what he got now, he got all the different folks. You on the spotlight now.
Right.
You on the spotlight. Not just like the urban folks watch. You got the white folks. You got all these sponsors who. Different corporations like looking at you now. Like, can we invest our money in somebody like this?
Right.
Now Rick Ross is trading what he's saying because the women group, they went to, I think it was Adidas, or what's the shoe company line he got to deal with?
Reebok.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They done went to Reebok and, like, with a style of, I don't know how many women on that petition, but they made some noise. But he went back and said an apology. I think it was like either today or yesterday. One of them.
Right. But you know, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly right there. But you got artists like, and that's, I think that's a part of, like you said, the fashion part of hip hop definitely need to grow up, man. I think the whole, and we kind of briefly talked about it a little bit, but the subject matters in the rap. But you know, I know that it's a youth driven movement. Hip hop is a youth-driven movement. Period.
That's always
but
been
not
like
anymore.
That.
I don't think
it's
that anymore.
It's always been like that.
And like you got to think back, like Big Daddy Kane.
Right.
We was like teenagers, like young preteen, listening to Big Daddy Kane. You ain't never heard Big Daddy Kane talking about he gonna put drug in a girl cup and he gonna take
right.
it on. He said something respectfully, like made you like, okay, this is how you come at a lady.
Right.
He's not going to sit there. He never downgraded a lady on none of his records.
Right. No, they didn't do that. But it's just like the industry is pushing these artists to be younger and younger in their conversation, and they talking about what teenagers talking about in records.
Well,
they're talking about what guys on the street talking about in records.
It's money.
Hold on one second. Here's the problem with that. And going back to your statement about hip-hop being a young man's game, not anymore. This is the thing about it. We grew up when hip-hop was in its teens and 20s. So, yeah, to say in 1998 hip-hop is a young man's game, you're exactly right, because hip-hop was only 20 years old at the time. The thing about it is now those young heads from the classic time of hip-hop, they're grown now. And they still actually have more money and more extendable income to spend now than they did before because they're running their own household, they're running their own careers, and they still want music that they can listen to. So hip-hop has the biggest thing that they have to do in order to grow up is expand the same way that rock did. This
right,
is why
right.
classic
well,
rock is such a popular format.
Right, let me clarify when I say a young man's game. I'm not saying as far as from an artist standpoint. I mean the listeners. The listeners are the youth are really pushing the whole engine of hip hop. I mean, buying it, delving into the culture as far as the dress. You know what I'm saying? They keep it alive still.
But yeah, the thing about it is because there's not an alternative. There's not an alternative for the adults who still like hip hop. And when they do get an alternative, they go to it. Prime example: why Jay-Z still sells the way that he sells. You know, well into his 40s.
Yeah.
There's not enough content for adult hip-hop listeners outside of the classic content. If you gave them
it's
more
not,
content, then
not.
It wouldn't just be driven by the youth.
You're right, because if it was so, you think Nas was sold more than what he sold.
Yeah, that was a very good album.
Matter of fact, that was a dope album. But the thing is, not a young, that album was in a young man game, to, you know what I'm saying, listen to.
That may be a little bit above their head.
You know what I'm saying?
I think that Nas should have left Def Jam by at this point. I think he should have cut that album through E1 or, you know, Fontana or whomever the case may be. Like, I just don't think that Def Jam was a cute, like, when your concentration, and no disrespect to them, when your concentration right now is Kanye, 2 Chainz, and Trinidad, like, you ain't really thinking about Nas just coming along dropping this, you know, this hot album. And a lot of people...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, a lot of people are jumping on this Nas album now after finding out, well, dang, this actually was a good album. I just didn't know about it at the time.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And we have to take ourselves out, and I think that's what gets me sometimes. It's hard for me to take myself out of that. I'm not the average fan. I still go. I like to see artwork. I still purchase albums. I like to see what kind of artwork. I like to look at album credits. It's not just about the 99 cents for me. But I have to take myself out of that because I'm not the average music fan. But hell, nobody on this phone is the average music fan. Let's be honest.
I got a question. How, you know, I'm looking at all the artists that we have out here right now. Like you said, we don't have a lane. We don't have a person that we can focus on and say, hey, man, that dude right there is speaking to what I want to hear. Now, if we want to hear a certain sound, a certain type or style of records from these artists or the new artists, how do we go about doing it? You know, who do we talk to? Because, I mean, you and I and Milk on this phone right now talking, how can we go about doing that?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You still got all the avenues available. You still go get the, like, the iTunes artist available. But it's the thing. Like, it's not like you're not going to see him as much on video. You're not going to hear as much as on radio because that's a young man's game now. It's like, because, like, you understand, like, they took Nas' record. I'm going to say this out on the record. They took Nas' record. They took three Nas' records up there, the Hot 107.9. They turned all three of them records down last year.
What?
Because they said the demographics. He does not relate to the demographics of the radio station.
Wow. And see, that's why I made that comment earlier about the youth. You know, with the youth pushing the game.
Classic rock is such a popular format. Why do you think that outside of internet radio and XM Sirius, that there is not an FM, there's not a terrestrial classic hip-hop station yet?
Wow. I thought about that a couple weeks ago.
Think about that now. As popular as the form... Because, let's be honest, classic rock stations keep rock artists alive because rock itself is not very popular among young white kids right now.
Right.
They got them coming this weekend for the Final Four.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not popular. It's the same way that let's keep it real, and all three of us have dealt radio in our experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason that if it were not for Urban AC, R&B radio right now would be virtually dead. You can't. There's no way that an R&B record could survive on the charts right now, just going strictly urban. If it were not for Urban AC and those classic songs that are available to the listener, and don't get me wrong, I think that there needs to be more formats where there's less classic R&B and more current R&B. But if it were not for that format, R&B radio would be virtually dead right now.
Yeah.
Now, you mean to tell me a radio station, like, okay, and I'm not being funny, but if it didn't work for Hot 107.9, I don't know what happened with maybe Streets 94.5, but truth be told, Nas is one of those classic artists that at least worth one listen. At least. To the average hip-hop fan, when it's like Nas got a new record out, it's at least worth one listen. You get what I'm saying? So they're not having there's not a format for them that exists outside of the internet or satellite radio. But it just goes back to what I'm saying. These are other aspects of it, and it got me thinking about the interview that Killer Mike just did on the Breakfast Club last week, I want to say, where he was talking about, DJ Envy was saying that, you know, Killer Mike wasn't on the hottest MCs list. And, you know, and Killer Mike was just basically like, because, you know, y'all not cool. Y'all not cool anymore. And he pretty much called Envy out on that. Like, you know, they're waiting, as JD called them a few years ago, BDS A&R. Like, it's just, how could you not, and I'm not saying don't have Killer Mike on the list, because Killer Mike, he's not popular amongst your mainstream hip hop fans. That's not what I'm saying. He's not popular amongst mainstream hip hop fans, but it's just the time, though, Nick.
It's the times. You know, the people, I mean, people can hear us right now and feel like y'all just some old men griping about your day, your past, or whatever the case may be. But realistically, Nick, it is the relevancy of now. Sad to say. And like you were saying about rock can take artists from the doggone 70s and 80s and put them in front of people and they still be relevant to a lot.
Because there's still an appreciation for them. Here's one. VH1's Hip Hop Irons is one of the most watched programs on VH1. Like, that is one of the most watched programs on VH1 throughout the year. Whenever they drop it, no matter the theme, it's still one of the most watched. Now, you tell me this. If it's really about the relevancy and what's about now, why does VH1's Hip Hop Honors put up more numbers than the BET Hip Hop Awards?
Because of us, our generation. We want to see that our generation, a generation
of people who are bringing in income, you need to tell me, if they weren't exposed to more hip-hop that was catered towards them, that it wouldn't return to its relevancy? Maybe not as popular as what's going on right now, but at least popular enough to give hip-hop the balance that it's been missing over the last 15 years?
I just like to see that generation of people who buy music. Yeah, I mean, we got the money. We got the capital to buy the records. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I guess I just look at it like, man, you look at radio as for what it is now, man. It's catering, like you said earlier, the demographic is catering towards that demographic. Now, we got to, you know, like you say, if there was an outlet that you don't see an old school hip hop station. I think I ran across one in Alabama coming through maybe once, but nothing that plays a lot of old school hip hop.
I can guarantee you there's not one in Alabama.
I don't know what they were playing. A lot of old school hip hop. It was on a Sunday.
But that's what I was about to say. I will say that a lot of the radio stations, like 95.7 in Birmingham, WBLS in Mobile, they do play a lot of old hip hop. Hot 105 in Montgomery, they do play more of the classic hip hop songs a lot. But there's no radio station that's formatted, you know, for old school hip hop.
True that. It's just not.
Because that was a big issue. Even before I moved from Alabama, that was a big issue there. It's just, you know, the balance is there somewhat, but it's not significant enough. And how many times can a paying customer demand for something and you ignore the need? Is it because they feel like they can't control the artist of the day? Now, that's a bigger... They can control what's going on today. They can control the ringtone artist, but they can't control someone like, I don't know, just for, you know, chucks and giggles, a KRS-One. They can't control his content. So it's easier to bury him than it is to give him a format.
Yeah, they bury a lot of people. Like y'all speaking about Nas' record. I mean, Nas' album, man. Nas' album, and for all those out there listening to us right now, if you haven't got that, go get it. Dead serious. That, man, that album is unbelievable. T.I. album is good. I mean, but I can't say too, man, I don't want to sound like I'm hating, but 2 Chainz album, no. Musically, Rick Ross album, outside of what he just did, musically, Rick Ross records are very grown, with the exception of the content sometimes.
I'm telling you this right now, after going back and listening to it, I will put Killer Mike's rap album up against any album that came out in 2012. I will put Reagan alone up against any record that came out in 2012. And I dare anyone to just listen to the album. And after you get through with listening to the first three songs, telling me that that album is not one of the best to come out in 2012.
True that.
The thing about it is, we are used to music of quality being served, and this, and when I say we, I'm talking about our generation, is used to music being served up, quality music being served up on a silver platter. That's not the case anymore. That's not the case anymore. And quite frankly, a lot of the younger generation, they just really, because they don't, you know, I can't even say that, because you got a lot of young kids that will go out and search on the internet.
I'm not going to front to you, Nick. Like, you know, I'm exposed to a teenager a lot. And I noticed that her generation is kind of gravitating towards 90s music. So I can't sit up here and say that all these kids want to hear what's on the radio constantly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, dude, we say it all the time. Good music is undeniable. So eventually, I think somewhere along the line, we'll start seeing a resurgence of good music again. But it's going to take a little while. Now, the radio programmers and radio jocks, all of those guys, they're not going to get it right off. You know what I'm saying? Just like this whole movement that a lot of people are not seeing with these kids. You know what I'm speaking on? It's eventually going to happen.
Yeah, and I think, and fortunately and unfortunately, the fashion helps. The fashion is helping it, because a lot of the fashions from the mid to late 80s and early 90s are hot right now. So a lot of, because that is such a nostalgic era, a lot of kids are like, okay, well, what else besides the fashion is going on there? So it is slowly but surely. And I don't want to just sit here and seem like we're bashing all the artists of today. I'm not bashing 2 Chainz. I've told y'all time and time again. I like the fact that Trinidad James is taking every stereotype about rap music and is just like throwing it in people's faces. I absolutely love that. I have nothing against 2 Chainz. As a matter of fact, 2 Chainz is going to be part of the subject of our topic next week, which is reinvention. Is it selling out or... Well, I'm sorry. Wait. I take that back. It's not reinvention. It's changing your style. Is it reinvention or selling out? So he's going to be a good topic of discussion. I'm not hating on these guys. I'm not hating on cats like Future. The reason that I'm not hating on them is because it's just this much. I believe that every generation has the right to have their stars. I can't force, you know, my generation music on my daughter's generation music. And the truth be told, outside of Radio Disney and gospel, that's all she listens. Like, she don't really listen to anything outside of Radio Disney and gospel. But she's got her stars. She's got her generation and generation, you know, the kids older than that, they have their own stars. They have the Miguel, they have the Frank Oceans, they have the L. Varner, they have, you know, the Kendrick Lamars, and that's cool. They have to have their own stars because they have to set their own identity. But just like our generation, even though we had our stars, we also went back and listened to the older generation stars. You got to give them time to do that on their own. What I'm saying is give the format a chance to grow. It's time for hip-hop to grow up. Hip-hop is in its 40s. Hip-hop is in its 40s. And the music has to evolve. Otherwise, it's going to keep diminishing and keep diminishing, because right now it's looking like a joke.
Well, I mean, that's cool, but, you know, I think there needs to be a burning or like a land clearing of hip-hop. In my opinion, I think everything needs to fall so we can go back and build it up again, man. I want to see more creativity. I want to see these kids come about being a little bit more creative with the records that they do. Now, that's just, like I said, we may not see it right now, but just like nowadays, there's a resurgence, there's an underground movement, there are movements out there that we may not be privy to yet, but these kids are making it happen. You know,
I'll
it's just on our end, like y'all was saying about, you know, our artists, the artists that are, man, I'll put it like this, you 30 up there's no reason for you to be acting like you're 20. That whole 40 is a new 30 and the 30 is a new 20, that's a bunch of crap. If you out there talking and rapping, make it make sense. My opinion.
And I get that. I don't think that we need to let hip-hop fall. And the reason that I don't think we need to let hip-hop fall is for this one reason. Every time we let a genre fall, it doesn't get picked up by us. It gets picked back up by another race.
It's already doing that. Look at Riff Raff.
But in drones, like, do you want to see, you know, what happened to blues, happened to R&B? And don't get me wrong, I have nothing against Dave Matthews Band and all this. What I'm saying is, though, when every time we just let a genre fall, we tend not to go back and try to build it up.
Well, I know this, but
to be honest, some of the greatest jazz players of the day are white. Same thing with, especially with the blues players. And even now, there's a subculture of R&B that is, they're really embracing R&B. And I can tell you this, the good majority of them are not black. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, the music is exclusively ours, but as a culture, we've lost so much music. We've shaped America's sound, and we've lost almost all of the music because of the fact that we just let something go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I don't think that they're letting it go. I just think that the vanguard that we have right now with the older artists, man, they can do more to be an example for the younger artists. That's just my opinion. That's a part of it where I say that they can be the change and then show the grown-up side of hip-hop, you know, instead of just cow down and, you know, just like whatever the PDs say, this is what you're going to do.
Well, I think if anything, Paul, it needs to be radio. Radio needs to fall. Because unfortunately, radio is still the, you know, major labels lost control of distribution. They've lost control of touring. So one thing that they still have a vast control over is terrestrial radio. And as long as records are being paid for, that's going to continue to be the case. As long as playlists are, you know, shortened and syndicated, that's going to continue to be the case. They're going to always hold that grip on it. That's why the majority of your big radio hits are coming from the majors as opposed to independents. Just being honest. Just being honest. So,
yeah. Hey, man.
And this is what... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Man, now, I was just going to say, man, I got one record, man. You know, if we can play this one record right here. I know we're in the middle of the conversation right now. And to all the listeners out there on the web chat, all the listeners on the internet, man, we appreciate my man Ty Young out there. Appreciate you, player. You know what I'm saying, man? I want to play a record before, because I know we kind of wind it down on time. Hey, Nook.
Yo.
You got anything you want to add to the conversation, man?
I mean, I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, check this out, man. We got a record, man, by our man Felt Five, man. Can I play the catch-up record again, man?
Yeah, man, go right ahead.
Like I said.
You said the what you call it now? What's the title?
Catch up, Felt Five.
Catch up?
Yeah, like.
Oh,
with
a C,
man, Felt Five.
Like, oh, I thought you mean ketchup like you put on french fries.
No. Hey, man, check this record out right here, man. Y'all listening to Talk
That's
the
way you say you put the ketchup. That's why I say it like the ketchup.
It's called Catch Up, not Ketchup.
Oh, all right.
From the South, chill out. Felt Five, Ketchup, not the red stuff.
This beat is like riding with the roof missing on a Saturday morning on my side of the city making paper. And I got a couple moves that you know I gotta make. And I'm about to get some gas headed to the interstate. Riding with the roof missing, riding with the roof.
Yeah.
Riding with the roof missing on a Saturday morning.
No,
riding with the roof.
Sometimes you just gotta ride.
With the roof,
play your head and all that.
With the roof,
yeah.
On a Saturday,
I'm
Alabama.
Ketchup to my campaign.
Okay,
ketchup to my campaign. campaign.
Catch up to my campaign.
Can't just jump in the beat.
Campaign. Catch up to my campaign.
You gotta fill it out, man. You gotta let it breathe for a
second. Campaign.
I'm finna go in.
Catch up to my campaign.
Yeah.
Campaign.
It's that summertime flow that was written up in the winter.
Yeah.
Colder than Republicans at a liberal's convention. Woo. I'm in the state of the crimson.
Yeah.
Ain't no day that's a given. I'm sitting up in the whip contemplating my next position. My mission is getting digits. I'm talking seven figures, a couple commas and no's with a plot to remain persistent. I gotta get that greenery so I can keep that greenery and take it to make it so I gotta double my Missy leaves. Ha, I'm riding to some better scenery.
Hey.
Sun is shining heavy so I need to hit that AC. 85 degrees, 85 be the same speed. Police trying to get me so I had to slow it down a piece. That's country talk if you didn't get what I said. I'm doing everything that I can to avoid the feds. Cause Jump Street be waiting trying to get your hands up. And I don't even bake them pies but they still be turned up. Making that effort to short of my blessing and eating my dreams up like Hannibal Lecter. But I gotta get it and plus I admit it. Sometimes I did wrong but I know I'm forgiven. I'm on that country shit like can't remember the time, but I'm on my farmer's ish. I gotta spread out my grind. And I said,
can I catch up to my campaign? Campaign.
Yeah.
Can I catch up to my campaign? Can I catch up to my campaign? Catch up to my campaign. Campaign.
LG for president, yeah. Exclusive, not irrelevant. Smoking gas, mashing gas at the red light, bitch, I'm revving in. Haters all in my rear view, you're too far behind, I can't see you. I'm telling y'all how we do, we keep it jumping harder than freeze.
Come on,
Northside, my niggas gon' ride all day. Grinding, hustling, getting that money, who said that crime don't pay? I'm chasing them numbers. Been doing this for summer. You know we got runners, ballers and stunners, you know we got gunners.
Huh?
This sound like thunder. When they get the clap and standing ovation. No lanes be in my clip, wherever the money that's our location. Rolling, smoking, choking, early moaning, feeling the breeze. With your main stick in the ride, aka a trick on my sleeve.
She don't wanna leave,
but she gotta go.
Don't
know how y'all do it, but this Alabama and that's how it goes.
Workflow.
Money flow. So catch up, cause my gas pedal on the flow. Groundhog cheese.
Catch up to my campaign. Campaign. Catch up to my campaign. Campaign. Okay, now catch up to my campaign.
Catch up to my campaign. I still like that record, though.
I love that record.
Catch up to my campaign.
He wrote and produced that. He did his thing on that, man. Today ain't gonna show him that. We want to thank everybody who was on the line today. As always, man, good to hear you back on Talk of the Town. Man, we missed that input, bro.
Matter of fact, he's been dropping a whole lot of music 101s over there on his page right there, man. I'm appreciating that.
You take some notes, bro. We're probably using his quotes on the show. So, thank you everybody for tuning in tonight. Thank you for tuning in this past Tuesday for the second episode of the Tuesday Morning Takeover. You know, shout out to the Cubicle Nation, At Work Network, giving you the best and brightest in R&B and soul. Make sure you tune in this Sunday to the Middleman Talk Show, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. And we'll be right back here next Thursday. Now, I'm telling you, next Thursday, we're going in.
Oh, yeah. As usual.
Next Thursday, Talk of the Town. The topic is changing your style. Is it reinvention or selling out?
Man, we might have to go back in the archives on some of that stuff right there, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, man, shouts out to our homie, Nanook. Appreciate you, cousin. Shouts out to my man, Ty Young, out there in Oklahoma City, all the people that tune in from Facebook, wherever you tune in or however you listening to us, man, we appreciate you. Download this show. share it, tell a friend to tell a friend. We on every Thursday at 8 p.m. Tonight we did run a 8:30 show, but normally on at 8 p.m. Eastern. All our folks, make sure y'all, hey, what you say, the Cubicle Nation, Nick?
The Cubicle Nation, the At Work Network.
Man, this show is so safe for you to play at work, man. You can let your boss hear. Make sure you do
right.
It. Don't get fired, but make sure you listen to it. We out.
Peace.
Yeah. Spell 5, middlemen. Yeah. Spell 5. Oh, follow me at Spell 5 on Twitter. Yeah. It's the talk of the town, man. It's so ill. We talking real news.